bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My friends, I want to thank you for tuning in with us today at Holy Spirit Radio. We're going to be teaching again today about trust, and trust is so important because God calls us to trust 100%. Not 80% or 50%, it calls us to give it all. And trust is just key, you know. And in the WINGS program, when we're doing inmate reentry work and recovery work with men and women, we talk about how we get to trust. And trust is critical. You know, we help our men to understand that within trust, there's honesty, sincerity, and respect, and accountability, and reliability. And this is important. Before you can trust someone 100%, and there are levels of trust, we've got to measure trust one conversation at a time. Is that person honest with me? Are they sincere with me? Do they care about me? Sincerity is so critical, and we're always looking for it. We want to have honesty and sincerity in relationships. Do we have respect, or are we being disrespected? Very, very important. We're trying to get to trust. I want to put my trust in other people, but I've got to make sure that they are being honest, sincere, respectful with me, accountable. What they say in word and action is one and the same. I don't want to be misled, taken down a pathway of destruction. And this is important. So as we measure other people, my friends, we're also looking at ourselves with regard to trust. Am I trustworthy? Can people put their trust in me? Can my kids trust me? My grandchildren? Can the banks trust me with a loan? In the WINGS program, we talk heavily about working on our stability, and financial stability is so important. Your credibility with the banks. So you can get a loan for a home, a car, a business. And they want to trust you, but they've got to do background checks and see whether or not you're working. What is your income? In the WINGS program, you know, for inmates who are starting fresh, starting new, building a new life after incarceration and after recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism, it's important that we start from day one building that credibility with the banks, but also with our family members. And our families will know where we've been in the past. They've watched us grow up. They know everything about us. And they're waiting for the shoe to drop. But you and I are going to prove them wrong, my friends, because every day you're going to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to help you to avoid the mistakes of the past, which are critical. And the family, you know, will be reluctant to put their trust in you if you've had incarceration or, some difficult times with drug addiction, alcoholism. But we want to reestablish ourselves in a positive way with family members, each and every family member in its own way. And we want to prove them wrong, that the shoe will not drop, but I'm a new person, new creation in Christ Jesus. And this is important. But we're talking about trust. And the Lord says it this way. He said, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your mind, your own understanding. God's calling us to give it all to him. And nothing less than 100%. He wants it all. He's calling for the heart. He doesn't want you to rely on your mind, because sometimes the mind is corrupted from the past, corrupted through addiction and alcoholism, corrupted with ideas and philosophies, ideologies from other people, even parents and friends and siblings who are not aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ are impacting us in a negative way. And God calls us not to lean on our own minds, but on him 100%. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give it all. You want the heart of a champion. Okay, lean not on your own understanding. God's calling for us to do it. In the Wings program, we use an analogy in aviation of an aircraft carrier and of an F-14 landing on an aircraft carrier. And when the F-14 fighter jet is landing on an aircraft carrier, as it comes down to the deck, it has a hook that is attached to the aircraft, and that hook has to catch the cable. Okay, and basically when that hook catches that cable, that aircraft will go from about 140 to 160 knots down to zero in a split second. Okay, and in this photograph that we have, this picture, this 24 by 36, it's got an aircraft carrier and an F-14 landing on it, and there's a phrase there that says, trust, the only thing that matters when it comes down to the wire. And they're talking about the wire which catches that hook from the F-14 or the F-16 or the F-18, whatever aircrafts they're flying today, the same philosophy applies, that the pilot must put his trust in that cable to stop his aircraft. And so this is a very dangerous situation where pilots are landing at high speed. And if they miss the cable, they'll hit the deck and go around and try it again. But the power that they actually come in with is already set for going around in the event they miss the cable. And when they do catch the cable and the aircraft stops, immediately the throttle is brought back to zero, and this way the aircraft can be taxied. But again, trust, the only quality that matters when it comes down to the wire. So I posed a question to you this morning, my friends. If you're out there listening to us inside a prison or in jail, recovery home, if you're out there, you know, in transition, the question is this: who do you trust in your life today and why? I want you to write this down as a writing assignment. Who do you trust today and why? Second question, have you ever had someone break the trust? And how did you feel about that? They broke the trust between you and them. And the third question is, have you ever broken the trust with someone? And how did it make you feel? This is important. And one of the great goals we have in life, my friends, once again, is to be honest. So would you ever trust someone who was dishonest? Would you ever trust someone who is insincere? They don't care about you. Someone who disrespects you. How could you trust them? This is where we put our trust into the wrong people. And this is where we've got to get smart. For many years, I put my trust growing up in corporate America. And many times was let down by an unethical CEO, immoral CEO. And this is important, that we put our trust into our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never disappointed me. It's important that we place our trust in the right area so we are not disappointed again and again and again. And there are many, many examples of being disappointed by family members, corporate America, and people that we put our trust in who broke the trust. And that could be anywhere in our lives. And I just want to say that if someone is out there and has broken the trust, you can get that trust back again, but you've got to go the extra mile. Many years ago, I was in church, and a woman came in and happened to be looking for a seat, and I had, you know, extra space to the right. And I brought her into the pew, and she was crying. And I said to her, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yes, I'm okay." But she continued to weep through the Mass on and off. And when the Mass was over, I said to her, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Well, really, I'm not. I could really use someone to talk to." And I said, "Well, what's going on? What's happening?" And she said, "Well, my here's the situation. I believe that my husband may have cheated on me. And this is what happened. Many years ago, I had a dream where I was standing over a crack in the earth. And God put it on my heart that this crack was a fault in my marriage. And it devastated me. It was incredible. He just put it on my heart one night in a dream. And so I confronted my husband and I said, "Have you had an affair? Did something happen a long time ago that I don't know about?" And she confronted him point blank. And he turned to her and he said, "Something did happen." And he confessed that he cheated on his wife 25 years ago. And she was devastated. And he apologized several times. But she couldn't find it in her heart to trust him. She could not find it in her heart to trust him. And as a result, she had no peace. Her mind was focused on the disrespect and the dishonesty that had occurred many years before. And so I said, "You know, that's a terrible thing. It's very, very hard to get that trust back. But I truly believe that you can do it if he goes the extra mile for you." And he's going to have to get down on his knees and confess to you and your children and your family to get the peace that you once had with him once again. So I said to her, "We have a prayer group that I'm involved with, and I run a group, and I'd like you to come, and you can be in the women's side, and I'll have your husband in the men's group." And as we proceeded that week, she came and he came, and he knew nothing about her revealing this to me. But as we continued to run the group for about an hour, we talked about this subject in the men's group. And I said to everyone, "You know, if a trust is broken, you could get it back. But you have to really go the extra mile with honesty, sincerity, and respect. total accountability in word and action. You can't come up short again. You can't. If you love this person, you'll fix it. And he was off to my right, but I was looking to the left and telling him exactly what he's got to do. And he had no knowledge of my understanding of his situation. But they were in a point after 25 years of marriage where they had some serious problems. Well, he did exactly that. And he attended the group for the next 4 weeks. And I gave him the same information again and again and again, and he took it and he ran with it, and he treated his wife like a second honeymoon and basically apologized to her in front of the children. He did everything he could do to get her respect back again, and in the end it was a home run, and they were like on a second honeymoon in their marriage. And I just tell you that, you know, when the trust is broken, it doesn't feel good. We've all been there. But God calls us to be good people. He says the steps of a good man is in order from the Lord. And part of being a good man is to be honest and to be sincere and respectful. But to do it 7 days a week, 7 days, 24 hours a day, and to not come up short, especially for the people that we truly love and care about, it hurts, you know, and breaking someone's heart is a very traumatic experience, especially if you have an investment of 25 years of time. And so this is important. But again, God calls us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And this is the challenge for us all, because we want to, as human beings, we want to rely on our own minds, our own information, our education, our background, our experience. But God's telling us truly to be still and know that He is God, from Psalms 46, verse 10. And He wants us to rely on Him 100%. He's calling us to do it. In aviation, when pilots are training for their instrument rating, which will allow them to actually fly into clouds where you can see nothing outside the window, they have to trust in their instruments 100%. And this is tough. It takes time to get to that level where you can actually fly the airplane by yourself with no instructor in the clouds or in very low visibility. And the instrument rating is required in Europe and Canada and Australia because it's very, very, for night flying, because it's very, very dangerous to fly at night. And so they require the instrument rating. But I just tell you that when you take an airplane up into a cloud for the first time, and if you can envision this, climbing up to, say, 2,000 feet, and you're now in the clouds, you cannot see outside the front window or the side windows. All you see is white cloud, and that's like water vapor. And as you do that, you've got to put your trust in the instruments. You've got to watch your airspeed, your altimeter, your attitude indicator, and your vertical speed indicator, your turn coordinator. If you're not watching your instruments when you're in the cloud, you can actually turn the airplane upside down within just a short time and be history. So God calls us to, you know, to really, as pilots, to focus in on the instruments. And in life, we look at the Lord Himself as the instrument to look to. And what His Father gave us in the Word of God, in the commandments, what He tells us to do and not to do are the instruments to follow. And we don't want to deviate. We want to do exactly as the Lord tells us to do. And Moses, who received the great commandments on Mount Sinai, tells us this in the book of Deuteronomy. He says to us, be careful to observe all the commandments that I have given you today, so that you can live a life of increase and prosper. He also says it a second time, to be careful. Imagine Moses at the top of the hill or the mountain telling us, hey, be careful to do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to do, to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as he tells you to do, so you can live a good life. God calls us to do it. He wants us to live a good life. He doesn't want us to go through many of the challenges that we have, you know, where the trust is broken in adultery. It's huge. It's going to be a tough road. Where the trust is broken because someone stole something, it's going to be tough to get that back. We had a guy in the Wings program who was addicted to methamphetamine and opiates, and he stole $200 from his mother's purse while he was living with her. And she found out, and she didn't talk to him for 2 years because the trust was broken. $200 for 2 years of a relationship with his mother. He had to sacrifice it. And it took a lot of humility and forgiveness to get that relationship back again. But I tell you, there are many examples of that where the trust is broken. And we've seen it. We've seen, you know, unfortunately, even in the church, some terrible situations where, you know, there were children who were molested by a priest. And this requires an apology. This requires humility. It requires forgiveness. But it does require an apology. And it's important that we all understand that we are called to humility, as God truly gave us Jesus, the Son of God, who offers forgiveness at the top of the cross to the people who beat him and hung him on the cross and crucified him. He has the humility to forgive, and we have to do the same. But we also have the have the humility to offer the apology to those who were injured by our actions or words or both. God calls us to make the apology. It doesn't matter who we are, whether we're lay people, religious, clergy, parents, children, brothers or sisters, teachers. God calls us all to have the humility to offer the apology. And to those who were victims of the, you know, pedophile situation, they should have an apology coming to them. It's so important to close the gap, to close the wound, and not to put more salt in the wound by living with this and talking about it forever, but to get the apology. In a previous show, we talked about the man who was raped by his father, one of the guys in the Wings program, and how his father had come to him with an apology in the prison, in the Philadelphia prison system, after we wrote the letter and offered forgiveness. And he came as we requested him to do so and visit with his son, who was 23 years old. And he apologized to his son for raping his son. And this was a beautiful thing, priceless. And so if you're out there, my friends, and you owe an apology to someone, you offer that apology with integrity. It's important. God calls us to do it. He says, if you have a gift for me, hold off on giving me that gift and go first and settle things with your brother. Don't come to the altar with your gift knowing that you have an unsettled account with your brother. God wants us to settle these differences. And for those who are victims of any kind of situation, whether it be outside the church or in the church, God calls us all to offer that apology
with honesty, sincerity, respect, and then to be accountable from here on out, never to repeat the same mistake again. He calls us to do it that way, my friends, to learn, to gain wisdom, and to not take that for granted. But the first step to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And this is important. We have the Lord with us. Who can be against us? So in this situation, when we're offering apologies, you know, it's going to help people to trust us once again. Okay, we offer an apology or forgiveness. It takes humility. But then we go forward as a new creation. And again, God calls us to be good men. The steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. But I want to just reinforce what I said once again, that, you know, in aviation, trusting those instruments are key. And we have a another instrument called the instrument landing system, the ILS, that the pilot actually flies down to the runway. And he has two needles, one for vertical guidance, one for lateral guidance. And when he keeps them together in the shape of a cross, if he keeps them in the perfect cross, he will land the aircraft straight on the runway centerline and at the 1,000-foot marker from the beginning of the runway. The perfect place to land the plane. But he's got to trust that instrument. So if he's in heavy rain showers, or if he's in fog down to 50 feet, if he's in a blizzard conditions, a whiteout where he can see nothing, the number one thing that he must do is stay on the instruments and keep that cross on his HSI, the horizontal situational indicator. This is important. He's got to do it to land the plane in the perfect spot. So he's got to trust, once again, his instruments. And we use this analogy to reinforce the thing we said earlier, that God's word and what he tells us to do and not to do in the commandments are the instruments. And we have to line up with those each and every day. We don't have a choice on this. It's an order from the Lord to be a good man. And we want to comply with that order each and every day. That's our show for today, my friends. I want to thank you for joining in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. May God bless you. Have a great day. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.